Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Now, who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Ravens at Buffalo Sunday, 6:30. Ravens 1-point favorites in said game. Over under, according to ESPN, bet 51.5. So they expect points on the board. I think we do, too. We'll do our predictions on Friday. Of course, Bob Haney, Vince Rotto, Dolan McGraw. Let's break down some film. Talk about the Buffalo Bills. Statistically, if you look at them on defense, man, not all that great.
Nope.
And as you just heard during Nolan's update, we've talked about they've returned a couple of starters since that Week 4 matchup. How much of a difference does it make? Buffalo film over here.
Yeah, when you look at the Buffalo defense, I mean, just overall pass defense, they're 24th. And rush defense, they're 12th. Completion percentage, they're 28. They give up 69% completion percentage. So the pass defense isn't great. Now, when we look at their defense, Greg Rousseau, number 50, their left defensive end. He's got 8 sacks for the season. Against the Ravens the last time, against Ronnie, he had 2 tackles in the game. No sacks, no pressures, no quarterback hits, none of that. So I think Ravens will be good there. And Rousseau is like 6'6", and he's like 240-something. Not a big, heavy dude. So with Rousseau there, 8 sacks for the season. Now, on the other side, Espinoza, the right defensive end, he had 1 tackle in the game, and that was against Rosengarten, who that was his. When did he start, Bob? Did he start like week 3 or week 4, Rosengarten?
He kind of rotated early and then took over there.
Yeah, but I mean, Espinoza had 1 tackle in the game.
Espinoza.
And
Espinoza, I believe, is a shortstop for the 72 Phillies or something.
Yeah, but Espinoza, another guy that is not a really big. He's 6'6", 260. All right, and then Vaughn Miller in the last game, Rosengarten had no problems. He didn't have a tackle. He had nothing. He wasn't on the sheet, the defensive stats. So, and even watching him in the Denver game, I mean, he can still run a little bit, but his pass rush is not great. I'd be disappointed if Rosengarten can't handle him.
He did all right last week against T.J. Watt when called upon to do so.
Oh, Rosengarten did a nice job.
Yeah, that last touchdown to Hill.
Yeah. And T.J. Watt wasn't on the score sheet either.
Correct.
So, now when you look at their defensive tackles, you know, Daquan Jones, number 92. And Daquan's 6'4", 320 pounds. So, he's a bigger guy, but he's felt. I mean, he's not a chubby dude at all. And he's got 23 tackle. He's got 2.5 sacks. And then Ed Oliver is probably their best guy. He was a first-round pick for them in 19. He's got 3 sacks. And Ed Oliver, he's 287. Probably a built-up 287, but he plays small. And what he's going to try to do, he's going to try to be on the edge, and he's going to try to get up the field. So I would think that a guy like McCary, great matchup for McCary. Great matchup for Lindenbaum. You know, and for Falele, the with Daquan Jones, not a bad matchup for him either, a 320-pounder, because he's good with those big guys on him. Now, with Milano and Terrell Bernard, both are 223 pounds, and they're 6 foot tall. The key's going to be for the Ravens is for their O linemen, especially if you don't have to double any of the D linemen, that the centers and guards, bam, they're up on the linebackers right away, because then all of a sudden, Derek's to the safeties. And that's kind of what happened last game. So the defensive front is still not big. The linebackers are not big. Milano and Bernard are better. You know, Speck played last time, and he had a sack in the game, and he had 6 tackles. So, and the other linebacker who filled in, he had 12 tackles. So it wasn't like they were horrible. Now, the secondary for them, Christian Benford, I'm not a fan. Number 47. Ravens went after him. Broncos went after him. He allows separation is what he does. He allows you to separate. He had 4 tackles in the last game against the Ravens. And why? It's because, you know, he's tackling the receiver after they catch the ball. Now, the other corner, Rasul Douglas, he's 6'2", over 200 pounds. Usually with bigger corners like that, they like to play press coverage, jam the receivers at the line of scrimmage. But their pedal, plant, and drive, because they're bigger guys, they're not as quick. Plant, drive, so you can create some separation there. I think they can get separation on both. Now back to Benford. Benford, Bob, he holds all the time. He grabs, holds. He is a grabber, big time. He wants to beat you up. He wants to maul you. He's going to get a penalty somewhere throughout the game. Now, their safeties, Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin, I think they're really average. I don't think they run very well. Hamlin, I think he's just okay. I don't think either one's a big, real physical guy. So I think, you know, you got the ability. Denver hit him on the first series down over the top of the safeties. So, and the Ravens didn't have a lot of problems with them last time. And we saw Derrick Henry outrun all of them. So they're not really burners. So I think they can take advantage of it. The tight ends can take advantage. Because we know this. I mean, if you gave up 200 yards rushing the last time you played a team and they dominated you, I got to figure out a way. If I'm Buffalo, how do we stop the run? I mean, if I'm head coach, I go in and I say, all right, guys, how are we stopping the run? And that's what they got to figure out, because what they did last time didn't work. Are we going to say, okay, because, you know, we've got Johnson, Milano, and Bernard back, that's going to be the difference? I don't know if you schematically you got to do something differently. And I'll be anxious to see. I'd love to talk to Munkin and say, what do you guys think they're going to try to do? That's what I'm hoping. And I still think that the Ravens, because of that, they're going to motion a lot and try to get them to move a little bit. But up front, I think they're going to be able to handle them. The linebackers are smart, and Milano can run. I think he will probably be the spy, you know, for Lamar. And it's going to, the other interesting thing is like we saw what Pittsburgh did, Bob, was they took the ends, crashed hard on Henry. What's Buffalo going to do? Are they going to let Lamar run? Are they going to let Henry run? I'm guessing is the end probably crashes, and they want Milano to come over the top to take Lamar. But then if they motion, you know, and that's where likely comes into play, because in space. So it's going to be a little cat and mouse, I would think, in the first couple series to see. I hope it's a 89-yard run on the first play of the game again,
right.
But I don't anticipate that. But I think Buffalo's defense, Bob, is just average. Like you said, the offense has been scoring a ton of points in lately, but they've given up a ton of points.
Over 40 a couple of times, yeah. No doubt about it.
So this could be a high-scoring game, possibly.
51.5, according to ESPN Bet, as the total. You mentioned officiating here, or Benford in particular, getting a lot of holding. We talked about it yesterday. Carl Sheppers. And he's his crew, over the course of his 25-year career, over 10 penalties a game. He was the rep when the Ravens played at the Chargers earlier. 12 penalties on the Ravens. 9 accepted. And heavily, heavily favors the home team in flag allocation.
Yeah. But let me just say, Bernard, he's going to get... I want to say he had one in the Ravens game and in the Denver game. I mean, because he grabs, he mauls.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Probably get to you around 11:45, because coming up next, the whip around what happened in the world of sports a lot last night. And then we've got, how about Steve Tasker joining us to talk about this playoff game, Buffalo. He's played in playoff games and won a lot with the Buffalo Bills. And the Ravens' chances appear to be pretty strong, but what's the difference there playing in Buffalo as opposed to playing elsewhere in a postseason where you never ask for ranch with your wings or they'll throw you through a table?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Vinny and Haney's Whip. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Got Steve Tasker, former Bill, talking about that playoff matchup coming up Sunday, Baltimore at Buffalo. Stay tuned for that. And then back to your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Your predictions for the game yourself. In the world of sports last night, well, let's tease this. College football championship game coming up Monday night. Ohio State, Notre Dame in Atlanta, 7:30 kickoff. Buckeyes still holding pretty steady. 8-point favorites in that one. Marcus Freeman, of course, head coach of the Fighting Irish, played at Ohio State. True traditional big-name powerhouse programs deciding the national championship college football here 2024 season into 2025. Anticipated matchup. But right now, Vinny, everybody kind of leaning towards Ohio State, not only winning, but maybe winning big.
Yeah. If both teams have their A game, Bob, they are good. Ohio State could win big. Notre Dame, like I said yesterday, their left tackle and right guard are out, which hurts them. Love the running back. Hopefully the knee brace is off because he's kind of a beast. Riley Leonard is an average thrower at best, and they don't have the type of receivers that Ohio State has. Ohio State has elite draftable players, where Notre Dame just has good football players.
You talk about a wide receiver factory of current day. Yep. I mean, LSU's certainly in the conversation.
Ohio State and LSU.
Yeah, those are the two, no doubt about it. But we'll be talking about that, obviously, next couple of days and definitely on Monday. College hoops, Big Ten men last night. Illinois, two teams Maryland's going to be facing here shortly. Number 19 They go to Bloomington and throttle the Hoosiers 94-69. They were up 38 at halftime. Oof. Indiana, what the hell? It's not like they're that bad, but they've got blown up by Louisville in one of the Thanksgiving tournaments, and to lose at home like that against the Fighting Illini, unacceptable. Mike Woodson played for Bobby Knight, one of the best players ever to play at Indiana. But, you know, we talked with PT about Maryland basketball expectations. Indiana's are even higher.
Yeah.
And they've got three national championships and multiple Final Fours on that resume, but they haven't been a relevant powerhouse team in quite some time.
Nope.
Since, what, the early 90s with Alan Henderson and Gary Graham and all those guys, and Bobby Knight and that crew. But, man, to get drilled at home like that, unacceptable. And I don't even care about Indiana. It was unacceptable. Wisconsin, ranked number 24, beats Ohio State at Ohio State 70-68. So, at Wisconsin, rather. So they win. Ohio State, who Maryland beat, like in Illinois beat Indiana. So you kind of need Ohio State to stack. But they lose the top one. USC, talk about teams starting to percolate a little bit. Beat Iowa 99-89. A little high-scoring college basketball fun for you. There were some upsets in the top 25 last night. Number 21, Ole Miss, wins by 10 at number 4, Alabama. Chris Beard.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss. Rebels getting it done. Missouri wins at number 5, Florida, 83-82. Stunning the Gators. And Arizona beat number 25, Baylor, 81-70. Don't look now, but Arizona, after a slow start and a bad start, 5-0 in the Big 12, they beat three straight ranked opponents. So old Tommy Lloyd got his Wildcats ready to rock and roll there. The Maryland women won last night. So Brenda Freeze, her Terps continue to surprise.
Yeah.
As they're ranked in the top 10. NBA, Oklahoma City, 118-102 over Philly. We talk about this from a local perspective, of course. Local kids playing. Well, first of all, Nolan's boy, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 32. Aaron Wiggins, however, University of Maryland, coached by Keith Gatlin, University of Maryland in high school. 6 points, 3 boards, 3 assists. Atlanta beat Phoenix, 122-117. Trey Young, 43. I got to admit, he's playing better. I thought, hey,
yeah.
He led the nation in scoring and assist at Oklahoma. But, boy, bad shot. Shot selection was not his friend.
Mm-hmm.
He's way exceeded my expectations at the NBA level. And for Phoenix, another tough bell as they're hovering around 500. Damian Lee, Calvert Hall, DNP coach's decision for the Suns. New Orleans beat the Bulls, 119-113. Trey Murphy, Virginia. Yeah, 32 for the Pelicans. Jalen Smith, Maryland, 13-4 for the Bulls. Unacceptable loss. New Orleans stinks. They don't even have 10 wins. And they win at Chicago, kind of hovering around that playoff line there. So I don't know. Billy Donovan, talk about a guy that might be better suited getting college, back to the cut. But yeah. Billy Donovan's my age. And that means he ain't young.
Yeah.
Because Billy Donovan was helping Rick Pitino get to the Final Four at Providence. Back in the 80s there. But anyway, the Bulls, they kind of stink. And I might be trading Zach LaVine, too, where it's all said and done. Milwaukee ended Sacramento, 7-game winning streak, 130-115. The Freak, Giannis had 33, 11, and 13. That is a triple-double, my friends. And Kevin Herter, University of Maryland, 7-1-1 in the loss. Same with Alex Len. He did play for Sacramento, 2 points, 2 boards. And an assist. So that's your local NBA flavor on a Turn It Up Tuesday in the NHL last night. Caps back on the ice, taking on the Ducks. No, Emilio Estevez was nowhere to be found, but the Capitals were in a big way.
Here's an odd man rush. Cross ice. Frank fires. He scores! Ethan Frank can do no wrong.
Joe Beninati on the call, 3-0, final score last night.
Yeah, and Ethan Frank, Bob, he's been up for 3 games from the AHL Hershey Bears team, which he was second leading scorer in the AHL. And he's 5'11", 180. He's got 2 goals and an assist in the 3 games that he's played. And the Caps have been getting great goaltending from Logan Thompson. I mean, they had a breakaway on him. He stopped it last night. And, I mean, the Caps are the biggest surprise in the NHL. They've got the best record in hockey with 63
Incredible.
Points.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing. Unbelievable. They're 15-4-4 at home, 14-6 on the road, 6-1-3 in their last 10. And Ovi hadn't been scoring at all lately. So, I mean, the Caps, pleasant surprise. And their young guys, I mean, the guys that they, Protas and McMichael, all these homegrown guys that have been kind of hovering back and forth minors for 3 years or so, they're like 25 years old now. Now they're ready to play. They're ready to play. And Chychrun, the defenseman, has helped them a ton. He had a big assist last night on a power play. And the Caps are the only team in the NHL that plays two defensemen on the power play because Carlson's excellent and Chychrun's outstanding.
Tomorrow, Ottawa. Senators 22-18-3 on the docket for Washington. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is the whip around here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Let's see. This day in Maryland basketball history. Down in Wake Forest 31 years ago. Battle of freshman big men. Two guys that would eventually become the number one pick in the draft different years. Terps beat Wake 61-58. Joe Smith, 17 points, 12 boards, on his way to make a first-team All-ACC National Freshman of the Year. Tim Duncan, never heard of him. He had 14.7 boards there. Dwayne Simpkins had 11 for Gary Land and the Turtles. Dwayne Simpkins, now the head coach at American University. How about Super Bowl I? Took place on this day, January 15th in L.A. Green Bay beat Kansas City 35-10. Bart Starr, MVP. Nolan, you're a big fan of this. Let's see. Halftime entertainment. Al Hurt, trumpeter, and with the Arizona and Grambling marching bands. CBS and NBC both televised it because this was before the merger.
Mm-hmm.
And their combined viewing, 51 million people. Combined for the first Super Bowl. Wasn't even sold out at the L.A. Coliseum. 1978, 11 years later, down at the New Orleans Superdome, Dallas Cowboys, Rashawn, beat the Denver Broncos, Orange Crush, 27-10. Randy White, Terps, Harvey Martin, rest in peace, were co-MVPs. Pat Summerall, Tom Brookshire on the call. Halftime entertainment. Boy, how things have changed. From Paris to Paris, America, the Tyler Junior College Apache Bells, along with Pete Fountain, who played the flute, and Al Hurt again. Al Hurt was like the Jay-Z of that early Super Bowl era. Apparently, 79 million people watched that one, Super Bowl 12. And then, let's see, the 13 years ago today, M&T Bank Stadium, a divisional round, Nolan. And I'm going to ask you a trivia question here in a second. Ravens took on the Houston Texans. Joe Flacco threw two touchdowns. They win 20-13. One to Anquan Boldin and one to Chris Wilson. Yes, I had to look it up.
Was that the trivia question?
Yeah. Who's Chris Wilson?
Well,
yeah. Do you remember
first
him?
First name Chris, last name Wilson.
Do you remember this dude?
Sure, yeah.
Chris with a K.
You can't fact check my brain, so yeah. Yeah, I remembered him, his cousin, his brother.
Yeah, it was like number 17 or whatever.
Yeah, right? Logan Wilson, Nolan Wilson, Ryan Wilson, whatever it is. Billy Cundiff kicked a couple field goals in that one as well. That's your day in sports history. Some cool stuff there locally when we come back. Talk about hopefully cool stuff coming up Sunday. Steve Tasker, Ravens, Bills. Bills are home dogs. Josh Allen didn't get first team all pro. Is he mad about that? We'll talk to Steve next here on The Fan.
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere f***ing else.
Beat Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Pat Benatar, chosen by you, the people. Anything you want to hear? Favorite female artist or band, send your request. Plus, for text line at 410-583-1057. 580 Vinny Serrato. Ravens of Buffalo. Ravens are favorite on the road. Here to talk about that. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's a five-time first-team All-Pro, seven-time Pro Bowler. He's in the Bills Hall of Fame. He right now is on WGR 550, talking about the AFC East champions. Let's welcome into the show, Steve Tasker. Steve, good morning. Thanks for joining us, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Good to talk to you.
All right, let's ask this question here right out of the gate. Lamar Jackson gets first team All-Pro, Josh Allen second. We assume, Steve, that's a precursor to who's going to get most valuable players. So you got that. Then you have the Bills, as you well know, undefeated at home this season. Number two seed, but yet home underdogs. You played in a ton of playoff games there. You've been to Super Bowls. So I'm going to say angst, but what's the disrespect level maybe happening with the Bills 4 days from kickoff against a team that did spank them earlier in the season?
Yeah, I don't think it's a disrespect about the Bills. I think it's a load of respect that everybody's got for the Ravens. I mean, they just look like a different kind of team than any other group in the playoffs, or at least the ones that are left for sure. Lamar's been so good throwing the football, and of course Derrick Henry's generational in their run game. They've got big physical guys up front. They're the only team in the league that can throw out a 300-pound fullback, and they ground this team into the dust the last time they played. So I think it's more about the Ravens than it is about the Bills.
Hey, Steve, when I looked, you know, when I studied the Ravens defense or the Buffalo defense, you know, week four, I said at that time, I said it's a bad matchup for the Bills because they're not big. I don't think the corners are great. I don't think the safeties are very good. The linebackers are small and the defensive front is kind of small, and it turned out to be that. What are they going to do differently defensively? Because they got to come up with something different defensively to stop the run.
Yeah, what they'll do, probably they'll feel like, and they will be better schematically with the guys on the field. They had, you know, four of their core players off the field during the first game of the year, so they had some guys running around out there not doing what they were supposed to be doing to begin with, let alone getting manhandled. I don't think there's any way. See, the Bills run nickel defense mm-hmm. as their base package. I mean, that's what they do. And Taron Johnson, let's face it, he's one of the best nickel backs in the league. But, you know, I mean, he's a 200-pound guy.
Right.
And if you're gonna play nickel, why are you going to play nickel against a team that's going to line up and just push you around? So I think they will. I don't have any idea what it will be. But I was, you know, during the last matchup, I mean, we're all sitting there going, you've got to change your personnel and get a stop on that run game. And they just did not do it. They doggedly stayed in nickel personnel. And I think some of that might have been because of the injuries. You know, they didn't feel like they could put base people on the field and still hold up or do any better. So they were in a real bad spot last time these teams met defensively, personnel-wise. And I think that is the $64 question. What will they do? Or what will they think they can do mm-hmm. to stop this Ravens run game? And, you know, that I think that's a $64 question. I don't think anybody knows the answer.
Steve, the only thing is like if they try to put more – and other teams have done it. They try to put more people up to stop the run. Then Lamar's throwing the heck out of the ball anyhow, and they've got two tight ends. They've got receivers. You know, so then it becomes that way because, you know – Benford, I mean, to me, he is a mauler, you know, at corner. I just don't think their corners are great or their safeties are great in the pass game.
Well, Benford's a really good cover corner. He has really surprised a lot of people. He came out as a sixth-round draft pick, and his numbers and analytics for the guys he's had to cover have been outstanding this year. He's one of the top guys in the league. After that, you go over on the other side is Rasul Douglas, who is a long in the tooth veteran guy who's very heady. And you're right, this defense has made its way through the season by being playmaking, causing a lot of turnovers, getting a sack here and there, although they don't really rush the passer that well. They have thrived on turnovers. And as you guys know, if you get to a team that just hands it off or it has a short passing game, turnovers are hard to come by. Mm-hmm. They did not get a turnover last week in the game against, and I can't remember
Houston,
who was it.
Houston.
Or Denver.
Denver. They didn't get a single turnover against Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos. But they, you know, so it was an even day on the turnover margins, and they ran off with it because of the Bills' ability to score points. But I think you're right. This Baltimore offense is a different animal, and they can beat you. And teams have been willing to, I think, more invite the run and keep the Ravens running the football because they know if they don't, if they're gonna invite them to throw it and pack the box, Lamar's going to cook them and cook them fast. And then you're into a game where you've got to score points to keep up because Lamar is airing it out. And then if they do get up on two scores on you, shoot, they'll just hand it off and grind the game out. And you'll end up with three possessions in the, you know, in a half. So, yeah, the Ravens are – these are two really good teams, but the Ravens are really good because they have so many ways to not just win the game with the running game or the passing game with Lamar running it or Derek running it or the passing game with the tight ends, or if Zay Flowers is out there, Zay Flowers on the outside. They got so many ways to beat you with the run, so many ways to beat you with the pass, and teams have to get desperate and guess right to have any success against them. And, you know, what are you going to do? Just wait on them to make a mistake to win the game? And what if they don't? You know, you just go in there with that kind of mindset. This is a really good Ravens club, and teams are really struggling to find a way to beat them because they, not only can they win these games a different ways, they can dominate with a lot of different facets of their offense, and they're a handful. So that's why teams, you think, you know, I don't think there's any magic elixir that you can run defensively to beat this team. You got to grind it out and hope you can make a play, or hope that they do make a mistake that you can take advantage of.
Bills Hall of Famer Steve Tasker. Steve, last thing for you. 6:30 kickoff. Bills home dogs, even though they're undefeated there. What happens? Who's going to Kansas City, or who's going to be hosting, barring an upset, the AFC Championship game?
I think this game is going to come down to – I think it'll be a close game because it is in Buffalo. They're hard to beat. In fact, Baltimore was the first team in 3 years to beat them by more than one possession there in week four. They set an NFL record for that. I think it's going to be a close game. And I think it's going to come down to – and I know it's about Lamar, and it's about Derrick Henry, it's about Josh Allen and James Cook and all these guys. I think it's going to be whichever team makes the last great defensive play. A lot like it was 2 years ago when the Bills went in there. They got an interception in the end zone from Lamar, then took it down with no time on the clock, kicked a winning field goal. I think it's going to be that kind of game. Whichever team gives their team that last chance defensively with a play on their defense will give their offense a chance to go down and win the game. I think it's going to be that close.
Steve Tasker going out on a limb. Could go either way. Steve, we appreciate the time. Hall of Famer, Buffalo style. Steve, enjoy the game, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Steve.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
All right, Steve Tasker, everybody. It's Vinny at 80-1057 The Fed. Come back, reset for you. News from the Nets coming up top of the hour. Buy or sell. Where's the midweek money? And then Cordell Woodland, preview the game with him. He's our Ravens insider. Ravens got to be feeling confident ahead of a rematch with Buffalo. Then again, that game took place in September. Sunday at 6:30, we're going to be at Bingo World.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn Park, baby. Bring it on. Yes, they have bingo. Have beer, most importantly, and we'll talk more about that as the week progresses. Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show brought to you by Rice Law. Got a funhouse trip in a second, well, a semi-short version, but let's get out to the phones. Tom in Columbia. Tom, what's up?
Hey, guys, what's going on, buddy? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, look, schematically, you know, as far as with Brandon Stevens and Tre'Davious White, what can we do for any more support? Is there anything, any other bodies that can step up? I know Mallett's still on, I think he's still on injured reserve, but do we have any options at all?
Well, the only other one is TJ Tampa, but you don't want to put a rookie that hadn't played out there in that position in this type of game. So
Armour Davis is always hurt.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So Tre'Davious White, maybe, you know, I mean, he's a former Bill, so you know he's going to be jacked up to play, but he doesn't have the great speed. You know, but I mean, Stevens is a total liability, and they threw like four deep balls in week four against the Ravens, and they completed, I think, two or three of them. They're going to take, I'm guessing, at least five shots deep against Stevens.
So there's no support that they can they push somebody over to the side? Maybe,
well, they
maybe
can put, they can, you know, roll him up and then put a safety over the top type thing. You know, so it's. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, just like, how's Buffalo going to stop the run? What are the Ravens going to do to help Stevens? And I like the fact when they go to Diamond, they put him on the inside and they put White on the outside.
Like, yeah, I've seen that. Now, as far as stretching the field without Zay Flowers, guys. Wouldn't Mitchell be a good option for that, even if he doesn't get the pass at all, just to go in there and run the stretch of field routes?
Keaton Mitchell?
Yeah.
He's a running back. But yeah, I mean,
he passes out of the backfield, and he's a speedy guy. He could at least, somebody's got to cover him.
Yeah, well, normally their deep guy's been Bateman. Bateman's been kind of their deep guy. And, I mean, they had almost 400 and some yards left. I think if Flowers doesn't play, they put Miller in there. Sims played some.
Aguilar had a catch.
You know, Wallace had a nice catch. I think they'll just go as is. I don't see, and Justice Hill played great too. So I don't see Keaton getting much action.
It's 58-80-105.7 The Fan. Let's bring in Nolan McGraw. Quick draw. How you feeling on this Woman Crush Wednesday?
Feeling pretty good over here. You know, we had Brian DiArdo on yesterday afternoon from CBS Sports, and he kind of teased that article he was writing about ranking the remaining playoff teams. I thought it was pretty funny. He sent me the link this morning. We rubbed off on him because the Ravens are now number one in his rankings. So
he had him fifth.
Right. The Bills are now number five. So we're a bad influence over here.
They're
influencing the opinions here. For those curious, Lions number two, Chiefs number three. So Ravens ahead of your 2-1 seeds there. Chiefs, sure, I'll agree with you. Lions, though, some injury issues, but, I mean, they're the real deal, man. I mean, to withstand all of those injury issues,
Montgomery's coming back for this one, too.
That's a stunner as well.
And then they got one of their linebackers back, too.
Well, that'll help the defense.
Chuck Schmidt.
Yeah.
Alex Karras is suiting up for this game, whatever dimension he's in right now. We have time for a fun ask. You want to wait till next hour?
We'll just do it here because the people are chomping at the bit.
Let's make it happen.
Quick draws, fun house. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with this texter who says the weather has to be the biggest concern for this game. If it was in Baltimore, even a neutral site, I think the Ravens roll through them. But if that wind is swirling, the temps in the single digits like they're projected to be, things could be a little more dicey.
Doesn't sound like there's going to be a lot of wind. It's going to be cold, but I mean, the Ravens don't have a problem with that. And I saw, you know, a little clip of Hard Knocks. You know, the Ravens were outside practice, and the winds must have been at like 30 miles an hour. So, I mean, they practice in it. So it's not going to be – the weather's not going to be an issue if they win or lose.
I think some people maybe just some bad flashbacks to the 2020 postseason. That was a – you know, no fans in the stands, of course, because that was the COVID year, but – terrible weather conditions that night.
Tucker missed a couple field goals.
Wind was brutal.
And back then, it was like, what the hell's going on?
And it was reflected in the low score for both teams. Nobody could really score.
Lamar threw the pick six and then eventually got knocked out of the game.
All right. This one here, texter says, if the Ravens' first play on Sunday night is a pass, I might question Todd Monken's coaching skills. With this quarterback-running back duo, a playoff win under your belt where you ran for 300 on a Steelers defense, there are no more excuses for getting away from their identity.
Yeah, but, you know, there is another good team that they're playing you ran for a couple hundred the last time you played. Of course you're going to try to see. But if they're going to change their defensive philosophy, which has been four down linemen, and they're playing, you know, a nickelback all the time, you know, 190-pounder, and you got two linebackers. And if they're going to put another D lineman in there and take out a DB or whatever, then they're forcing you to do something different, which is good because that's not what they normally do.
And if we're talking element of surprise first play of the game, deep shot's probably the last thing
anticipating. It's a 70-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, boy, that was a hell of a play call.
Right. Yeah. That's why you should be a head coach, Todd Monken. All right, one more here from Chris in Pasadena. Says, seems like it'd be good to get Lamar running early on, just like the last game, especially in a cold weather environment. Keeping himself warm and loose with more runs could be prudent to a successful outcome.
Yeah, I don't think that that's the reason why you have him run to keep him warm. I think it depends on, I think to get him involved in the run stuff. Look what he did, you know, last week. He came out, you know, running, and that's what the defense dictated, and he made yards, and he was into the game, and he played a great game. So, you know, that is going to be a heavy part of Sunday night's game, is going to be Lamar running.
By the way, if you're wondering, Bobby Babich is the defensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills.
And McDermott is...
Defensive coordinator. Yeah. But Joe Brady's the OC, and here's a familiar name. Ron Curry is the quarterback coach,
North Carolina quarterback.
Stud dude there. So it's going to be an interesting game. It's a team that's not lost at home all season long, but yet they're home dogs against the Ravens. So very much anticipated game, and we'll come back, talk about the Ravens and the Bills. News from the Nest, buy or sell, count some dough. Cordell Woodland, our Ravens insider, shaking it up sports. We'll preview the game with him. And me and Vinny talking about the air. The ratings were down.
Yeah.
For the wild card round, I'm guessing all these intriguing matchups means the divisional round's going to be pretty happening.